This is an oral interview with Les Musgrave, owner and head gardener at the Kaya Wilds Meadow in New South Wales. Les will be speaking with me, Ruth Bailey, from the Australian Garden History Society as part of a collaboration with the Berrima District Museum to create an exhibition of 8 significant gardens in the Southern Highlands to be showcased in the BDM Digital Gallery Story Centre. Les, on behalf of the AGHS and BDM, I'd like to thank you for agreeing to participate in this interview. This interview is taking place today, 27th of January 2020, at about 11:35. This interview is intended to cover the history, development and adaptation of the gardens at the Kaya, from commencement to the present period, and in particular since your acquisition of the property in 2009, and including any future plans you might have for the gardens. So we're going to start with some biographical details, right, if that's okay. Yep. So to start off with, where were you born?
I was born in the eastern suburbs of Sydney, Rose Bay.
Right. And how many siblings do you have?
Two girls.
Right. Are they nearby? Are they still in Sydney?
One lives in the Hawkesbury area, out of Sydney, and the other... our other daughter lives in Queenstown in New Zealand.
Oh, this is a sibling, so any brothers and sisters? So
oh, sorry.
That's all right.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of
that's
the girls.
Right.
Yes, I have one brother.
Right.
And he lives in Brisbane.
Oh, right, okay. And did you go to school locally?
Yes, went to school at Rose Bay Primary and then to Vaucluse High.
Right, okay. And did you go to university or tertiary education?
After leaving high school, I went straight to the Ryde School of Horticulture studied horticulture and garden design.
Right. So what got you interested in garden design and gardening? What were the influences in your life?
I think the main influence were my parents. Both of them were keen gardeners. They were so keen that when my father retired, they couldn't agree on what to do in the garden, so one got the front garden and one got the back garden. But before that, they encouraged me to develop the garden at Rose Bay, which I think at the age of about 17, we entered a competition and we won Best Small Garden in Sydney.
Oh, right.
And then it was two consecutive years that we won Best Small Garden.
Right. So you were gardening as a young child?
Yes, yes.
Right. And you had a little patch of your own?
Had a patch and then slowly took over the garden. And I always remember when I was about 7 wanting to build a fish pond, and my parents gave me a couple of bags of ready-mix cement to build a fish pond.
And did you?
Yes, but it wasn't that exciting because my grandfather, who was an engineer, decided we'd have to do formwork and all that, and it took too long.
The impatience of youth, as
yes,
they say.
Yes.
Right. So you were introduced to gardening as an infant, basically.
Yes,
so
yes.
You crawled around the garden and watched your mum and dad garden, and
yes.
So it became part of your life. That's interesting. So being around a garden doesn't necessarily mean you're passionate about a garden. What do you think made it passionate to you?
Most probably at an early age, being able to grow plants. My father was very keen on vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And then in my very early teens, he built a small glass house for me. And then I was propagating. So, you know, I think it just helped develop that feeling for plants.
Right, you could grow things from little cuttings,
cuttings and
seeds. And
yes, I used to check the glass house out every morning and see how things were going.
Right. Now, in terms of your style of gardening, what has influenced the style of gardens that you create? Is it through research or is it through travel or friends or colleagues?
It'd be a combination.
Mm-hmm.
Magazines and other designers. I was especially influenced by a designer from Brazil, Roberto Bell Marx.
Okay.
His gardens are very dramatic. He did a lot of work around Rio.
Oh.
And his plantings were quite strong plantings, very definite plants.
Right.
And that sort of...
structural or architectural?
Very architectural plantings. And then an English designer, Russell Page,
mm-hmm.
who was very good at doing formal gardens, very intense formal gardens, and then letting them spill over into more informal areas and with vistas, which helped a lot. And also Christopher Lloyd for his strong use of colour in certain areas of the garden.
Right.
I've always enjoyed his writing, so...
Right. So you've taken a little bit of each of these and have created your own style.
Yes, yes, very much so.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, good. And where were you living and working prior to coming to the Kaya?
We were living at Kurrajong Heights. I was doing restoration work and small landscape jobs in the hills area of Sydney, plus Mount Wilson and Mount Irvine.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a 28-acre property at Kurrajong Heights with a 12-acre garden we opened to the public.
Oh.
So it was a very different garden than what we have here, because there was a lot of creeks and rock formations and lovely cold-temperate rainforest.
And did it have a name, this property?
It was called Fernbrook.
Oh, and is it still there, or...?
The garden, yeah, the place is still there, but it's not open to the public anymore, so it's...
So it was very different to this garden, so you
were
looking
for
something
different? I suppose so. This one I've enjoyed because it's a different sort of feel to it.
Right.
It was a challenge having such a sunny garden, because Fernbrook was... naturally, a lot of ferns, but it had the sunny areas too, but it was a magic garden.
With creeks and valleys and things.
Lots of creeks. We had a lovely creek called Little Weenie Creek that ran through it.
Right.
A lot of shade areas,
right.
But at least half of the garden would have been open garden, which was good, but the gully areas were the favourite one.
Really? Mm. So you opened this to the public and people came and visited,
yes.
Is that right?
Elaine had her botanical studio at the entrance to the garden.
Oh, okay.
It was in a converted milking shed.
Right.
So people used to come in and have a look around the studio and then head off to the garden.
Right. So was that a full-time job for you, or were you still doing the other work in the Blue Mountains?
I was still doing the work in the Blue Mountains and maintaining the garden at Fernbrook.
All on your own?
All on my own, yes. And having a cut flower production.
Oh.
Based at the garden at Fernbrook, so supplying 6 florists every week of the year. So
oh, gosh, you
it
were
kept me busy.
I can see that. So this one is as busy or less?
This one's only busy for our own enjoyment mainly now.
Right.
We do open it occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And also I'm busy growing plants for the Southern Highlands Botanic Gardens.
Right.
So we're most probably just as busy, but in a less pressure.
A different way,
yes.
A more volunteer way, as
yes,
opposed
yes.
to a production facility, is
yes,
what I'm hearing.
Yes, we can get away from this place when we want to.
Right, yes. Which is nice.
Yes.
So the other question I had is the history of the Kaya. Has it been here a long time? Did you buy it as an established garden, or...?
It was partially established. The first owner who built the house and put the driveways in, she was she was New South Wales' first female jockey.
Oh, right.
So hence the 2 stables and no garden as such.
And
she
when was that? Do you know?
Would have been about 2005.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Then the next owners came along and they commissioned Chris Webb, a local designer from the Southern Highlands, to do a bit of work for them. And he designed the parterre garden and a couple of other things in the garden. And then it became a deceased estate. So they were only here for a very short time.
Right.
So they did a secondary planting after the first owner. And then we've come along and finished it off, hopefully.
So what drew you to this particular space? Because there are many properties in the Highlands.
Yeah, so when we looked in the Highlands, we had always liked the rainfall in the Robertson area.
Right.
And it turned out that all the properties we looked at four or five of our favourite ones were in about 3 kilometres of this one.
There you go. So knowing the history of this property, did that influence the way you developed it, or did you just sort of start from scratch in your own mind?
I virtually started from scratch. Mm. I had to, because the garden was so new from the previous owners, the trees and things, mm. our first winter, there were so many deciduous plants around that there was very little to look at in winter.
Oh.
So I had to start introducing structure into the garden mm-hmm. with hedging and then some evergreen plants and just give it more variety and then start tying all the garden beds, you know, into together.
Right.
The previous owners just hadn't had time to put a, you know, put a lot of thought into finishing the garden.
And probably didn't have your experience with plants as well.
No, they...
It makes a big difference.
Yes, they started with the parterre that we love,
right.
a very formal parterre garden, but they wanted a rose garden. So the parterre was very, to me, not that interesting. Mm-hmm. To rose lovers at most probably was very interesting,
mm.
but 270 roses... And in a climate that normally has 60 inches of rain a year, with black spot and aphid, it wasn't on. So we dug up all the roses from the parterre garden,
mm-hmm.
gave 200 away, kept 70, put them into another area of the garden, and then that started the development of the parterre garden, which is the main feature of this property.
Mm-hmm.
I decided that a friend had told me a long time ago, 20 years ago, about a garden she'd heard of that was essentially a non-green garden.
Oh.
And then I thought, I've got the perfect parterre garden, lovely layout. So I started introducing grey two-cream hedge to surround the parterre and got rid of the grass and put red decomposed granite
right.
to complement the gravel paths that were already in, and then started adding plants with wonderful textures,
mm-hmm.
colours. There are greens in the garden, but a lot of them are silvery greens or softer greens.
Mm.
I've tried to keep it as non-green as possible,
mm-hmm.
but still have a certain amount of colour
right.
with the dark leaf miniature dahlias.
Right.
And lots of other plants that flower, but they've got grey-green leaves.
Right, so it gives lovely contrast.
Yes, yes.
Right, exactly. So a question about your material about the garden. Do you keep a diary? Do you have garden plans, photos, those sorts of things about the garden?
A lot of photos.
Right.
I'm constantly taking photos because it helps to look back on the photos and you realise how much growth you've had in, you know,
relatively short period of time.
Yes, yes.
Right.
But I don't keep diaries as such.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a drawer full of labels that never get sorted. And but it's mainly photographs
right.
is the record I keep of the garden.
And what about garden equipment? Do you have pieces that you wear out and just toss aside, or do you just keep using the same things?
Keep using the same things. I don't wear things out that often.
Right.
I think I've got 7 pairs of a very good brand of pruning shears,
mm-hmm.
lots of secateurs,
mm-hmm.
and then just your normal
right.
equipment for
I've
gardening.
I've just seen some gardens where they hang up their retired equipment. They
hang
them
right,
up on
yes.
walls and things because
yes.
they've moved on to something else. I was just curious whether you had such things.
No, I don't. I don't keep anything. If it's not working, I don't worry.
Right. So just to reiterate some of the changes you've made to the garden. So you've refreshed the total parterre garden.
Yes.
It's quite a large property. Have you done other things to the garden?
Yes. I've added a lot of areas to the garden.
Mm-hmm.
I've put in 2 bog gardens because we have in excessive rain periods, we have areas that flood. So the bog gardens are a feature of the garden. Mm-hmm. There's quite an extensive grass garden, a gravel garden.
Oh.
And bulb garden. So they're all different areas that I try to link up with big sweeping areas of lawn and
lovely
hedges.
Vistas.
Yes,
and
vistas.
Do you have an orchard, do I recall?
There's a small orchard in the place. Some of the trees were there.
Right.
And I prune them and look after them, and the birds enjoy them.
Well, it's good to contribute to the local bird population.
Yes,
they'd
yes.
be very appreciative of that, yes. And how do you select the plantings for the garden? Did you start from a blank piece of paper and design it, or did you start to plant things, see what worked, and then move things around?
I virtually knew exactly what I wanted to do.
Oh, right.
I've been very lucky. I can see things. You know, I'll buy a plant and I look at it and I can see what it's going to look like in 10 years, 15 years' time.
Right, so you're a visionary for your plants
as
well.
Yes, and I don't need to plan certain things. You get ideas and then you've got to toss up whether it's going to work.
Right.
Because every plant has a lot of good points, but some bad points too. And
right.
I'm very conscious of maintenance,
right.
looking after the 5-acre property on my own.
Mm.
So I'm always thinking how much work is involved at certain times of the year.
I think that's important. I think some people don't always appreciate the demands of a large garden.
No.
And how what an effort it's going to take to keep it looking really lovely.
Yes. There's certain plants that take a lot of time. And then there's other plants that seem to go on forever, which very little maintenance. So I'm trying to get as many of those in the garden as possible.
Right.
But, it's always going to be a certain amount of maintenance
right.
on a 5-acre garden.
Oh, absolutely.
In a 5-acre garden.
Yeah. Exactly. Now, you referred to colour as being important in your design. Are there particular colours that you like to use that are eye-catching?
In some areas of the garden, I like quite strong colours.
Mm-hmm.
I love the very dark-leafed cannas with the orange or red flowers.
Mm.
I like very strong blues and purples,
mm-hmm.
yellows. I don't go so much for the softer pastel colours.
Right.
And we're very, very lucky here with the soil that we get very strong colouring in hydrangeas.
Oh, right.
And it's the stronger colours I gravitate to.
Because they're actually very eye-catching, aren't they, when they're strong?
Yes, yes.
And you have purples and greys and a little bit of green.
Yes. The strong coloured miniature dahlias in the parterre, they set off the rest of the display.
What would you call a normal day in the garden?
A normal day, I would spend maybe pruning one or two hedges, spraying for weeds, mulching. If I get a bit bored with too much pruning, I'll go and start potting up plants for the botanic gardens.
Right.
It sort of breaks up the day.
Right.
I get bored very quickly.
Right, that's okay.
Just general maintenance is sort of
routine.
I'd rather be developing the garden,
right.
But after so many years in horticulture, I realise I can't keep adding garden beds, so I keep the work down to a minimum.
Have you reshaped some parts of the garden because it became too heavy on maintenance, and have you tried to done?
I'm always looking at ways that I can still have the effect, but
mm-hmm.
reduce the maintenance on plants.
So are natives common in your garden? Or?
We've got quite a few natives. I love the natives, the longer lived native plants,
mm-hmm.
or the ones that will take pruning and rejuvenate.
Right.
I don't want anything that's short lived.
Is that common in the native plant world? I'm not familiar.
A lot of native plants are short-lived,
oh.
but there's a lot too that are very long-lived plants.
Mm. Okay.
So I sort of head towards the longer-lived plants.
Right, and you mix those in with other plants?
Yes,
right.
Yes, they mix very well.
Right, oh good. And what is your favourite area of the garden and why? Do you have one?
I've got lots of favourite areas. My main area would be the parterre garden.
Right.
But then in the autumn and winter, it would be the grass garden.
Right.
And then during summer, it's around the dams with the gunneras and right. different plants growing. So it depends on the season.
So your whole garden is designed to have something of interest and colour at all seasons?
Yes.
Is what I'm hearing.
Yes. Well, at present, yes, one of the things I'm trying for is to have a garden that's very exciting during the middle of winter.
Right.
And I've been adding lots of coloured stem plants, grasses, a lot of New Zealand carrots,
right.
different colours, and just to add more interest in the winter garden.
Mm.
So, but it's been more of an effort than, you know.
You thought.
Yes.
So all those lovely reds and burgundies. And
the black stems and the orange grasses. And then the dried grass garden. It looks very good in the winter with the straw coloured leaves and the old flower seed heads.
Well, the birds would love that.
Yes, yes. So it all adds a bit of interest to the
garden.
Right,
it makes it fun to go out into. It's not like, oh, I have to go into the garden and it's not going to be very interesting. And
oh, no, no. And adding perfume to the garden. I've got a lot of perfume plants in the garden, and especially winter with the fragrant honeysuckle, the shrub honeysuckle, and also Daphne all through the garden.
Mm.
And then lots of any plants I can find that are perfumed. It doesn't matter what time of the year I'll put into the garden.
It always gives a lovely feel to walk through a perfume
yes,
garden.
Yes,
it's
yes.
very calming. So do you have three favourite plants?
I've been thinking about favourite plants. I've got a lot of favourite plants, but the ginkgos would have to be one of my favourite. Hence we've got seven or eight of them near the house, but they're tip pruned to look like giant bonsais.
Oh, right.
And to enjoy the autumn colour against the grey of the house.
And what colour do they go?
They go bright buttercup yellow in autumn.
Oh,
so
beautiful.
And I've always loved the ginkgo.
Right.
Then another plant that we have in the garden are the kalmias. They're an American shrub. The ordinary kalmia latifolia is the floral emblem of Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
So we've got lots of varieties of kalmias, which are lovely. They flower in October.
Have a perfume?
No perfume, no, but
okay.
Incredible flowers, and lovely shrub. And then the other one would be the gunneras that around the edge of the dams. And,
they're quite architectural.
Yes, they're very good, so
yeah.
I enjoy those.
Right.
But there's a list of maybe 50.
I'm sure.
Yes.
Trying to identify the top three is hard, but
yes.
I just had to ask, because every gardener generally is drawn to one or two or three plants that they just love to have
yes.
and couldn't imagine a garden without it.
Yeah, well, the ginkgo would have to be my favourite.
Right. Mm. And what are your future plans for the garden?
It's mainly maintaining the garden as it is now, replacing anything that might start to get a bit overgrown.
Mm-hmm.
And really just maintenance. There's no other areas I want to develop.
Okay.
You're always changing bits and pieces, and then all of a sudden something will turn up that you've just got to have. So you've got to adjust the garden to
appropriately
fit it in.
Wow,
yes.
That's wonderful. So thank you, Les, very much. So on behalf of the Australian Garden History, I'd like to thank you for agreeing to participate in this interview. However, before we conclude, are there any things about the garden that we haven't talked about today or your experiences that you'd like to share with us?
I don't think so. No, I'm not sure. I don't think... All I'd say was that I'm constantly reading up on plants. And then I will go out and, if I can, find the plant and try it. But it's happening less and less now. But once you have an established garden and you're happy with it, it's I don't get excited over a lot of new plants. I like to see how they go in other people's gardens.
Right.
Because there's a lot of plants that are released these days that are not as good as they promoted in the beginning.
Okay.
So I'd like to get to know the plant first.
Right.
And then
and you do a lot of work with the botanic gardens too, so that's a big interest of
yes.
yours.
Yes, and that introduces me to a lot of new plants.
Mm.
So there's always something coming up there that you think, oh, I've just got to try that. But on the whole, I'm happy with the way the garden's turned out.
Lovely.
And it's just a matter of maintaining the look that I wanted.
Right.
And being very strong to keep the open spaces, because that's one thing I'm very passionate about, is the amount of open space to set off other parts of the garden.
Right. Otherwise it could get very crowded and
yes,
dark.
Yes.
It could get overgrown.
I find a lot of gardens get overplanted and you can't appreciate the trees or the shrubbery that you have because there's no sort of breathing space. There's no relief from their plantings.
Right.
So the open areas are just as important as the plants.
Well, it's more relaxing, so
yes,
I can understand
yes,
that. So
yes.
That's great. Thank you very much,
Good.
Les.
Okay, thank
very
you.
Very interesting.